Blog Talk Radio.
All give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. For truly we know that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are saved. And we know that our God is an awesome God. Our God is a great God. He rules from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. And because he loves us so, he wants to show us his greatness, his power, his dunamis, his capacity, his ability, his strength, his miracle-working power in the here and now way of living and doing. It's no accident. It's no coincidence that you tuned in to the Manna from On High broadcast heard over the blogtalkradio.com network. I know that sometimes divine appointment brings us to a place or an area that we need to be in so that we can receive the very greatness of God. That's right. As far as the heaven is from the earth, his ways from our ways, his thoughts from our thoughts. And because of that, we know that God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we are able to ask and even think. So call that friend, call that neighbor, that coworker, that family member, that acquaintance, that neighbor, and let them know that the Manna from On High broadcast is on all the way live here and now. And truly, we're going to be expecting, anticipating miracles, miracles right on this broadcast. If I'm going to be going through and praying for you in the name of Jesus. You see, it's at the name of Jesus that every knee must bow, every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. And that's right. On this glorious and victorious day it is, Sunday, the 19th of December, 2021. Another day that the Lord has made that we should rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God, for all of your goodness. Thank you for your loving kindness. Thank you for your tender mercies. Thank you for our excellent health. Thank you for excellent finances. Thank you for an excellent existence. Thank you for the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Just thank you, Father God, for just being God. And beside you, there is none other. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the holy name of our God. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Father God, we're going into the broadcast today, and we're entering into what is called by the world standard the Yuletide season, anticipating the birth of the Christ child. Lord, we're looking to Zion. We're looking to the hills from which cometh our help. And Father God, in the name of Jesus, we know that our help cometh from you. But we know that he that keepeth us will not suffer our foot to be moved. And because of that, we're giving you praise. We're giving you glory. We're giving you honor. We're giving you thanksgiving, Lord. For we know that Christmas is every day celebrating the very essence of Jesus being born into our hearts through the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, yes, he is our Lord. He is our Savior, our High Priest, our Messiah. He is our protector. He is a wonderful. He is our counselor. He is our mighty God, the Prince of Peace, and the everlasting Father. He is all of these things. And Father God, we acknowledge him, Father God. We praise thee for him, thy blessed Son, Jesus Christ. For behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Thank you, Father God. We praise you. We acknowledge you. And we bless you in your presence. Amen. Thank you, Father God. And thank you, listening audience, for tuning in to receive the best that God has to offer, the Manna from On High. Manna is the highest level of echelon, of association, in which God feeds his children. He feeds his people. And what a blessing it is. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And we're just giving praise unto him right now and giving praise unto God for the miracles that are in the making in the here and now. Praise God for the miracles that are even being manifest in the here and the now. Oh, yes. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, Father God. Oh, thank you, Father God. Just praise your name. Hallelujah. We bless you. We praise you. We thank you because thou art God. And beside you, there is none other but you. Oh, thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. We're just excited about the wonderful things that God is doing on the horizon in the here and the now. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in the sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbre and dance. Praise him with the string instrument and organ. Praise him with the lead cymbals, the loud cymbals. We said lead cymbals. We mean the loud cymbals. That's right. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that have breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. You know, like I know, God dwells in the midst of praise. And oftentimes, we pray, we talk to God, we ask God, where is the miracle that, Lord, you spoke into my spirit that you said would take manifest? It has not manifested yet. Don't you know that God dwells in the midst of praises? He said, if you've been faithful over a few things, I will make you the ruler of many. And God oftentimes just waits upon us. He waits upon us to just show a spirit of gratitude. That's right, for what he has done thus far. And he has done great things where we are exceedingly and abundantly glad. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. And this is the time we just want to take out 2 minutes and just say, thank you, Father God. Just thank you, Father God. Just lift your hands up and just say, thank you, Father God. Thank you for healing. Thank you for abundance. Thank you for being Jehovah Jireh, Lord God, our provider. Thank you for just being Lord God, our protector. Thank you for just being Lord God, our everything. We give thanks unto you, for you're worthy of honor. You're worthy of glory. You're worthy of praise. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And we're just thanking God for all of the blessings and the miracles in advance. That's right. We're thanking him right here and right now. And let me tell you something. The power of God is moving. Despite what the world is saying, no. Jesus is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. He is the victory. He is. The victory that we have and we achieve is through the name of Jesus. So when God brings us up and brings us out and delivers us and does all these manifesting things within us and within our lives and within our areas and our circumference, we need to take it back to where it belongs, giving thanks unto God. We have to do it because our miracles are sealed under the blood of Jesus. Our miracles are sealed in the authority of the name of Jesus, under the blood of Jesus. All the blood. Oh, the blood of Jesus that washes white as snow. Oh, thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood, the blood, the blood. Oh, thank you, Father God. Thank you for the authority, the power that wondrous working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Oh, my God, what an exciting time to be in the Lord. Oh, yes. Thank you, Father God. And we're just blessing all of you that have tuned in today as we're going forth in the reading of God's word. And you know something? So many people are walking out and they're getting involved in practices that are not of God. They refuse to accept the power of God, the will of God, and the presence of God. And they're seeking spirits of enchantment. You know what God said about those who seek the spirit of sorcery, of enchantment? He said, suffer not a witch to live. Those that do such things are unworthy of the kingdom of heaven. And I was reading an article a couple of months ago talking about how witchcraft, and this is a sad factor, this is why we've got to go back to the Genesis perspective, about how witchcraft is now becoming a great occurrence within some Christian congregations. You know, you can't merge the world with God. You can't merge Satan with God. How can two walk except they be agreed? Now, if the Lord be God, follow him. Now, if Belial be your God, then follow him. No man can serve two masters. He has to love one and hate the other. We can't merge those kinds of behaviors. We have to walk in the authority of Jesus Christ. There's no other way. There is no other way that we can do it. And we have to acknowledge that these things are evident and they are truth. We have to walk in the truth. We have to walk in the power of the anointing. For it's the anointing of God that breaketh the yoke. And we thank God for the yoke being broken. Thank you, Father God. Just thank you for breaking the yoke. Thank you, Father God. And thank you for the words of truth. For your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light into our pathway. And then just thanking God for all that he is and all that he's doing in the here and now of thinking and of doing. We're just grateful unto him. We're giving thanks unto him. And you know something? This is a time of miracles. You may not want to believe it. You're listening to the world. But miracles don't happen anymore. That was in the days of the apostles. And God worked miracles through the apostles to get people to understand that his power is real. God said in his word, I am the Lord thy God, and I change not. Miracles are just as evident and prevalent in the here and now phase of thinking and doing as they were then. And all we have to do is walk in the truth and receive the benefits of his presence. And God is working his power right here and now. I want you to go with me right here and now through the New Testament to the book of Galatians and the fifth chapter. The first verse says this, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not again entangled again with the yoke of bondage. What is the Apostle Paul saying? Defend the faith. Walk in the knowledge of the truth that you have been liberated. Whatever happened yesterday through the power of God, through the power of his redemption, is yesterday. And we're not even to look at yesterday except giving forth a testimony of God's greatness. You know, sometimes we get melancholy and we start going back down memory lane. We start thinking that things were far better back in the day, in the days of our youth and how things seemed to be less complex because we were young. Well, guess what? Those old days are not coming back anymore. We are in the present here and now. And this is the reason why we must earnestly defend the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. We have to defend the faith. That means we have to walk in the light of the truth. Walking in the light of truth sometimes means that we're not going to be very popular. Sometimes we're going to be often left alone. Sometimes people are not going to be drawn to us because sometimes the truth intimidates those who refuse to accept it. And it becomes a bothersome pestilence. And as a result, people are willing to push those who represent the truth away. And they want to follow the popularity move. The popularity movement says, you know, if it's good to you, and if it feels good to you, go on, do it. Wherever the crowd is, that's where you go. Let me tell you something. The truth sometimes will make us stick out like a sore thumb. We're oftentimes going to be made to be isolated because of the truth. That's all right. But you know something? I'd rather live 110 years upon this earth and oftentimes feel abandoned, oftentimes feel alone, and be in my excellent health, physical health, be in my excellent spiritual health, walking in the knowledge and truth of God, and having to be alone, than to live 75 years of quick phase decisions and popularity. Because the popularity does not predict the anointing of God. The anointing of God is what breaks the yoke. So it's important that we understand, because you're operating on the anointing, sometimes you're not going to be popular. Sometimes you're not going to be the most liked. You're not going to be the most recognized. But all the man's ways please God, he said he would cause his enemy to be at peace with him. I like that. But you know something? When the Lord prepared me for this journey, he let me know that there was going to be times that I would have to walk alone. That's fine, because I know who my Redeemer is, and I know that he lives. I know his power. I know his anointing. And sometimes God separates us so he can display his greatness in our life. And this is why Apostle Paul said, you know what? Defend your faith. Walk in the Spirit, that ye fulfill not the lust of the flesh. It's going to be times that we're going to fall short. It's going to be times that we're going to slack. God knows that. But when we slack, we have to ask God for his grace. He said, we sin. Slacking is not sinning. That means we are lighting up on our prayer life. We're lighting up on reading the word. We're lighting up on our fasting life. We're lighting up on our fellowship in life. If we fall short, we have an advocate with the Father. Who is that advocate? Jesus Christ. He is just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So that's what we have to do. He said, behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to the whole law. See, this is the reason why legalism is not what God requires out of his children. You see, the law is the law of the flesh. The law does not constitute the anointing of God. See, only when we operate through the liberty of the Holy Spirit do we see the manifestations of God's miracles. Do we see the powerful hand of God move on our behalf? How do you think it was the children of Israel? And Moses took in that rod, and he divided the Red Sea. And the children of Israel walked down the middle of the Red Sea. Was it by the law? No. It was by the liberty, the power of God through the Holy Spirit. That's right. And did you know that Jesus Christ was even then? Yes, he was. He said, I was before Moses was. So in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was even in the beginning. So this is the reason why we have to walk in accordance to obedience. That Jesus Christ is become of Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. See, grace is the ability to manipulate, to control through divine favor. See, the law does not give us divine favor. The law produces man-made ordinance. That's right. Man-made favor. That can't grant you anything on the supernatural frequency of things. It can't. So this is the reason why it's so important to understand that it is the grace of God through the power of the Holy Spirit that grants us petition, that gives us favor in the kingdom of God. That's right. And you remember what Jesus told Peter? He said, I give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. He said, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. That's through the authority of Jesus Christ. And this is where it is. And this is the reason why we can't get bound into legalism. And when we see ourselves being confronted with legalism, we have to remove ourselves. That's right. We have to remove ourselves. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. That's right. And listen, and understanding that love is one of the greatest forces upon earth, because love is what caused Father God to give forth his only begotten Son, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth upon him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So this is the reason why we have to walk in the spirit of obedience. The spirit of obedience is through the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit is through the unction and the leadership of the Holy Spirit, in which you are under the subjective powers of our Lord Jesus Christ, honoring God the Father, creator of all things, both great and small. And here it says, let's go in a couple of verses down. Apostle Paul reads, as he's written, the 16th verse, this chapter of the book of Galatians. This is what I say then. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. See, the law is for wayward people. The Holy Spirit-filled people don't need the law. Come on now. See, the law is meant to govern those people who are considered as Gentiles or as heathens, lawless people. That's what heathens are, considered lawless people. Spirit-filled children of God don't need laws, because we understand the power of limitation. We understand that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So we don't need those things. Law is only for those who are wayward, who have no boundaries, who know no boundaries. And this is the reason why laws are given. And see, laws don't have any constraints upon God's children. God's anointed and appointed. People say civil liberties. Guess what? He that the Son has set free is free and free indeed. That's our civil liberty. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, we've already been liberated. We don't have another taskmaster. We don't have another slave master. He has redeemed us from the power of the curse of the law. The curse came through the law. Because you know what happened? When the law came about, again, it was to govern the wayward and the forward people and to give them some guiding parameters because they didn't know and understand the power of limitation. So therefore, law constitutes restraint. We have a liberty in Christ Jesus. We don't need restraint. There is no restraint against those who walk in the Spirit and don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. There is no restraint. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, adultery. I know first thing that comes to mind when we say adultery, we're thinking about a man who has a wife and he's going out having an affair with another woman who may or may not be married, or vice versa, a woman who has a husband who's going out with another man who may or may not be married. We think about adultery as being that act of disregard for one's spouse by indulging in the circumstances or areas that are not befitting as a woman of chastity. A woman of marriage is considered a woman of chastity, or a man of chastity is considered a man who is to love his wife as Christ loved the church. That's the first thing we think about adultery. Adultery can also take on the form of being engaged to truth and then suddenly turning away from truth and adopting to this new age perspective of believing and teaching that is not biblically sound or scripturally supported. Somebody said it's in the new age church, taking on philosophies of mankind. We're not to do those things. You can't merge the world with the church. You can't say that you are walking in the truth of Jesus Christ and then adhere and adopt to the standards of the world. You can't do it. And that's another form of adultery. It's intertwining with the standards of the world. Fornication. You know, first thing about fornication, we think it means two people who are not married or indulging in physical activity. That can be true. That's one way of fornication. Or fornication in the spiritual aspect can mean that you are indulging in spiritual practices that are not coherent to sound doctrine. That's right. This is where a lot of spiritism gets involved, where a lot of things such as sorcery get intertwined. Burning of candles, using of sacred stones and tarot cards. And these are just things that are relevant to the spirit of enchantment. No man can serve two masters. You will love one and hate the other. Do you not know that these types of practices open up evil portals where evil spirits can have accessibility to you and your environment and to those around you? So this is why God warns us of the dangers of dealing with those things. And most of all, Christians know that they know better than to do these things. They know full well not to do these things. God does not look favorably upon those who do. Uncleanliness. That means not just being dirty or nasty. Uncleanliness means being foul. Some people, they carry an aura that is just negative. Every time you're around them, you feel this sense of inability. You feel this sense of imparchment. You don't feel a sense of cleanliness, of wholesomeness. You feel as though you've got to be on your specific guard because the uncleanliness, they embed things, self-righteousness, unforgiveness, you know, revenge. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. We don't have to seek revenge. We don't have to seek to do anything to anyone. God is our avenger, and he is our protector, and he is our keeper. And there are some people who walk in that mannerism. They contain these negative characteristics that are totally unchristian-like, lasciviousness, What is lasciviousness? You know, lasciviousness is luridness. People that want to be, how would you say, adoring, enchanting, bewildering, so that they can be seductive. We're not to be seductive as being Christians. We're walking in a new light, a new perspective era of things. Idolatry. I mean, worshiping, I don't care if you're worshiping political figures, if you're worshiping entertainment figures or ministers, there is no other God except God the Almighty that created this universe. It spoke everything into existence. There's only one Messiah, one Savior, and that's Jesus Christ. There are no more gods. No more gods. No, there's not. No. And some even worship angels. You know something? We can respect and regard angels, but no. We worship God the Father. We worship God the Son. And we worship the Holy Spirit through the Holy Spirit. That's the only way that we can do rightful worship is through the Holy Spirit. And this is the only way that we can do it. Oh, and witchcraft. Wow. We just talked about that. This is a new age movement that utilizes witchcraft in a setting that these individuals call themselves Christians. How can two walk except they be agreed? You can't take satanic influence and intertwine and intermingle it with the power of God, because there will be a severe imbalance. You know what will happen? God will become angry, and his wrath will be kindled against you. For the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience. Witchcraft is a disrespect to God's kingdom. It's a disrespect to God's power. And to those that do such things, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. They won't inherit. That means they can't call on the authority of Jesus Christ. They cannot call the authority of God the Father to come at their aid to rescue them, because they're intertwining and intermingling with the powers of darkness. Oh, it seems so innocent. Well, my friend, she talks to this lady, she's a psychic. No. Those who seek the powers of enchantment are dealing with dark forces. Not one part of the scripture can we ever see where God utilized the apostles and called them psychics. No. No. Called them readers. No. Not one of his spokespersons were ever engaged in that type of behavior. So therefore, we have to walk in the constitution of what God has established for us to do, so we can walk in the authority, so we can hold those keys to the kingdom. And remember what Jesus told Peter? He said, behold, I give unto you the keys of the kingdom. Whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose upon the earth shall be loosed in heaven. Through the authority of the keys, the authority of Jesus Christ. And this is how we ascertain and contain this treasure in an earthen vessel. So understand, variance, hatred, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, hearsay, envying, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such are like when I tell you before, as I told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So walking in unforgiveness, you can't inherit the power of God in your life. You can't give the placement for God to work the miracles in your life when you're walking in unforgiveness. You have to let go and let God. I know some of us have been praying, and I'm still praying for certain things. Let me tell you something. It's not that God is limited. It's just that there's things within me that God is waiting for me to remove through the power of the Spirit. We can't do it alone. We can't. We need to stop thinking we're self-sufficient, because we're not. We need the power of God in our lives to help us to monopolize upon the fact that He is in control. We're not in control. We might want to have control, but no, the only control we have is through the power of the anointing of God. And we have to be willing to let go so that God can have His way. And we move ourselves, our egos, our characters out of the way that God will have His way. And this is what He wants to do. So we're going to be going through the scriptures daily. And we need to make sure that we take time. Many of us are on recess from the academic community. Now we've got time. We can read the word. We can pray. We can fast. We can go into fellowship in the Holy Spirit. And we can pray the prayer of the faith. The prayer of the faith means removing yourself out of the way so that God can have His way. We've got time to do it now. And let me tell you something. Don't things in front of your spirituality. Because let me tell you something. God's wrath, when you've got anointing on your life, that I know that God has placed the anointing of instruction and teaching in my life. If you stray away, oh, God is not going to kill you. He's not going to stricken you with illness or sickness, but He will chasten you. And for whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. Not to hurt us, not to kill us, not to strip us, but to show us we've got to stay on the path. And we have this time frame that we can do this, so that when we go into the new year, we go with a new attitude and with a new latitude. That God, when we come into a place, I don't care if it's our workplace, with our shopping venue, or within our family establishment or residency, people should automatically be able to look and feel the power of God's presence within you. We need to be so prayed up and so anointed and walking in the truth that when the enemy sees us, he says, I got to get out of here. No, I don't want to be around here. No, this is the way that we need to behave ourselves. And it takes time. It takes discipline. We've got to be disciplined. I know sometimes we want the very finest of praise and hallelujah and thank you, Lord. Oh, that comes. When the deliverance comes, oh, that's an automatic response. But sometimes God has to break us down so He can build us up. Sometimes we strayed off and we don't even know that we strayed off. And God has to bring us back to that place of originality. And we just thank God that He loves us enough to do it. And I don't know about you, I'm looking for some wonderful things to happen in the upcoming year. And just thank God for all of His blessings, seen and unseen, known and unknown. And just thank God for the power of His manifestation. When we know that God is able to do exceedingly, yes, He is, and abundantly, above all, we're able to ask and even think. And we're praising God for you, and we're praising God for you. And listen, in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. Have a glorious and victorious week, and we'll pick you up again real soon. You've got your host, your teacher, the Esquire Abby A. Phelps, known as Motor City Maharani, saying, thank God for Jesus. But we know that God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we're able to ask and even think. God bless you, and we'll see you real soon.